Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in the light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministry's own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. A new intro for you guys, so you guys get to check that out. That is from our good friend, Belle Von Eif, over there in upstate New York. We were so blessed to have the entire Von Eif family, and also the Bracken, not all of them, but Sam and his wife, Rhea, we got to hang out with them. A week or so ago? And,
A
couple weeks ago, and Joe barbecued it up for him, and we had a great time. We were really blessed. So we are always blessed when we get to meet brothers and sisters in Christ, but especially meeting brothers and sisters in Christ that love the truth and want to see people.
Yeah, the neat thing about Belle real quick is that it was great getting to know all of them, but Belle actually, her mom uses our, she's an educator, that's her background, and she uses our podcast as part of her, she listens to these podcasts, does reports on them as part of her homeschooling curriculum. So that's pretty cool. Good idea, parents. Check it out.
Well, that
get
is
your children
pretty cool.
A Christian worldview.
No, amen. And you know what's funny is because when we were sitting in here, we were about to record, and I got a message from Mary, and she's like, hey, I tried to upload your show and I listened to it, and then I sent it to Keith and it was down because Tony had pressed something that uploaded immediately after we finished recording 5/11 News.
They changed their system on the platform where I upload, and when I went to do an edit, it suddenly reverted back to today and published it immediately, and I had to go delete it, and it was too late. So it happens, technology.
Yeah, it's all right. But so praise God, we'll get that out again tomorrow morning. Well, I guess this will be Friday morning. It already came out at 6 a.m.
Sorry for the head fake.
But no, we're really blessed, and we like to get involved with a lot of the people that bless us, and you guys totally bless us, the guys in New York, and also just a ton of people this last week. I know we mentioned praise reports, and then I somewhat got inundated with multiple texts. I got some messages on Instagram, on Facebook. Hey, guys, this show is just a blessing. And one of the best ways, guys, not just letting us know that it means a lot to you guys, because it is a lot of work, and we all put in a lot of work for it. But one of the best ways you can do is simply press that share button. Tell a friend about it. Okay, don't just hide it under a bushel. If you guys are getting blessed, and if you guys are hearing the truth and saying, hey, I think this is a great answer to this topic at hand, send it to somebody. Tag somebody who disagrees with you.
Because we're seeing people come to the Lord through it, which we knew would happen, but by God's grace. So it's a great way to put out the Lord's fishing net.
It was funny because I had sent a praise report that was sent to me in a text message to Joe and Tony. And then Joe's like, hey, didn't you just get one like that? I was like, no, it's a totally different one. In the last week, three different people texting that they came back to the Lord recently. And this one I'll read from a good brother. Said, hey, Chad, I fell away from the Lord for a couple years and didn't even realize how far I had fallen. But recently I returned to the Lord, and God has been so, so great and amazing to me. While I'll always have so much to learn, so much of God's word makes more sense to me now than it ever did before. And God has been restoring my heart for him, his word, and the lost.
Praise God.
I'm mainly texting to share that the podcast you do with Joe and Tony has been such a huge blessing to me as I learn to walk with the Lord again. Thank you guys so much, so much for doing what you do, and I'm so thankful to God for the podcast being available.
Praise God. Keep resting on, bro.
Yeah, amen, bro. And praise God for you, bro. That text message, literally, I was in the middle of dealing with a lot of crazy stuff, and I got that text message, and it just blessed my heart. So praise God for you, bro. And we are really excited for a number of reasons, and we'll have to get actually into the topic. Otherwise, we'll be just talking about
how we usually cover a lot of ground, so we got to be careful here.
So we got to get a little bit of a move on. And today's show is going to be talking about an article. I was actually over at Joe's and popped up. I see an image of Frozen next to the Gospel Coalition's logo, which means they're covering the topic. So naturally, you figure it's a
exposé.
It's an exposé, right?
Watch out for the witchcraft and your kids.
that's what I would hope, especially with four little ones running around and who have
not
cousins.
Not one warning
like
about witchcraft, by the way. Very heartbreaking.
That's exactly right.
It's the fastest growing religion among many of our youth.
Yeah, 100%.
And here in the States, yeah.
No, of course, things like Harry Potter are a good reason for that. And then mm-hmm. following that up with now, I believe this is the female version of Harry Potter, in my personal opinion, with how, I mean, you can't go anywhere, can't go to any store without hearing Let It Go or some Frozen bit or something. And Frozen 2 came out, and now it's been huge. We did an entire show on it. Tony will put the link at the bottom. And a guy named Joey Tomasoni for the Gospel Coalition put together an article, and this is how he starts it. He says, I wasn't expecting much from Frozen 2, but when I saw it with my family, I discovered something unexpected. First of all, let me just point out something real quick. This guy's a pastor, by the way, and it concerns me. When there's witchcraft, you know it's witchcraft before you get there. It's the second version of this, and you're walking in there with your family. As a husband, as a father, to me, that breaks my heart, let alone that he's a shepherd of a church. But then to walk your children and be like, we're going to go entertain ourselves with witchcraft. I just had a... As a father, I just find that to be repulsive to me as a believer. But let me keep reading from the article. It says, it came during the end credits as a version of the ballad, quote, Into the Unknown, Elsa's flagship song in the film, is performed by the band Panic at the Disco. What I discovered in the Oscar-nominated song was a deep spiritual wrestling, a prayer of a coming generation. Artists are antennas, prophets, even intercessors, expressing unspoken longings that are hard to articulate. To love the world around us, we must learn to listen to her art. Now, before we get into some of the Frozen stuff that Joe wants to get into, and not just that, but also some of the music and some of the way he's going to point out how this is a great thing to go and watch films like this. The band, Panic at the Disco, if you guys have never heard of them, they actually really started growing when I was in high school. Everyone was listening to Panic at the Disco. I think at prom they played. I was hearing a ton of their music when I was a junior, senior in high school. And I remember some of their song titles were like really long, and I didn't know what martyrdom or suicide was. And they were talking about how the only difference, I think one of the song's titles is... The only difference between martyrdom and suicide is press coverage. And so for me, after I become a believer, remembering that band, I thought, well, that sounds...
And I thought my titles were long. That's a long one.
Yeah. That's pretty bad. And then, so recently I was looking up their lyrics, especially after I saw this article, and looking up somewhat of their background, because they started to get big again. There was like this lull where I had really seen or heard anything about them in the media. And so... I was like, what were some of those lyrics? What were some of the songs? What is the background of this band? And they have a song where they sing the lyric, I pray for the wicked on the weekend. He actually tweeted about that specific lyric, and he said this, quote, I pray for all the wicked people doing wicked things and for all the good people doing good things every day. I pray, but not to anyone specifically, more to myself, pleading to stay positive and loving and open-minded. Now, he comes from a Mormon background as a kid, and now he doesn't call himself religious. He's totally left that.
Praise himself.
Yeah. And praise to himself. Yeah, if that is not the silliest thing you've ever heard. But nonetheless, he also has an infatuation with alcohol. And guys, I think this has a lot of spiritual undertones, especially when we understand the demonic. I mean, you think about it, it's a counterfeit. Being drunk is a counterfeit to actually having the Holy Spirit. The Bible says very clearly, do not be drunk with wine, which causes dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, over and over again, we see that in Scripture. You see Samuel's mother, they thought she was drunk, but really she was praying in the Spirit. The apostles, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they thought they were drunk. Over and over again, it's a counterfeit. Okay, and so it's interesting to me, and my ears go up, and I say, wait, what? He was juxtaposing in his song religious background and alcohol. And this is one of the things he says. It says, quote, sip up till you're tipsy, night's young, searching for a feeling, big fun, dancing with the demons. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, grips you like a pistol, wet the whistle, wet the whistle. This is blasphemy, the kind of stuff. So what Joey Tomasoni said is that these are the antennas, prophets, and intercessors. Specifically, he says this right after talking about the lyrics or the song Into the Unknown by them.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
Wicked, man.
Is that your intercessor? Is that is that expressing an unspoken language that's hard to articulate? That seems pretty easy to articulate who exactly he's dancing with. And whether or not he knows or not, he is merely one of the children of disobedience that is being used by the prince of the power of the air. And guess what? This guy is not only taking his children, not only encouraging, I'm sure, his flock, because I'm sure they read his articles, but also the hundreds of thousands of subscribers to the Gospel Coalition. And for me, it's heartbreaking.
No, absolutely, bro. It is heartbreaking. And the gentleman, at the very least, is severely misguided. And when you're a teacher, you got to be very careful. James 3:1. Don't many of you seek to be teachers, because we shall incur a stricter judgment. So it's got the article, it's fraught with error. And it was just heartbreaking. And the Gospel Coalition is a very popular online Calvinistic ministry. And a lot of times Calvinists, it's not just true with Calvinism, you see it all over non-Calvinists as well. They try to sanctify art. And you know, the word art also makes things acceptable. And in Calvinism, since everything's believed to be determined, everything that Satan does and says is scripted by God. So everything's really scripted by God. So I've noticed that a lot of Calvinists don't really get so concerned sometimes about spiritual warfare, because everything's fixed, everything's predetermined, your salvation or your damnation, you have no choice. So they don't recognize sometimes the vitality, the seriousness of spiritual warfare. But I want to look at some of the body of the article. He writes, "What I discovered in the Oscar-nominated song was a deep spiritual wrestling, a prayer of a coming generation. As I listened into the unknown and Frozen 2, I heard the prayer of a coming generation, not of a 30-year-old millennial munching on popcorn in 2020. And the crazy thing is, these characters aren't real. Elsa's not real. These are characters in the movie aren't real. This is written by scriptwriters who have a decidedly occult agenda, okay? It's not a prayer. Elsa's is a character, an animated character, and she's become the mouthpiece of people that are purveying a very occult worldview. And it's not about prayer. It's about plunging one's life into the occult. So it's interesting. The nature is being worshipped there. It's not an unknown God who they're trying to figure out who it is, and they're perplexed and saying, who is God? They're saying, no, this is who we're to follow. And actually, the good beings or the good people in the movie actually worship, they state that they worship the creation, and they're the heroic people, the ones who are on the good side, you know? Anyways, this is the opposite of what God's cry is. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, Paul warns, you know, he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. They hold down God's truth in a sinful attitude because they want to do their wickedness. He says, for since the beginning of creation, God's invisible, before that, I shouldn't skip this part. He says, for that which is known about God is evident within them, for God has made it evident to them. And then he goes on to say, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and his divine nature are clearly seen, being understood through the things that are made, so that they are without excuse. And then it goes on to talk about how they reject God. He gives them over depraved minds. They become foolish and they worship the creation rather than the creator. That's a description of how the world system is. But the scriptures tell us, Paul tells us as well, that this is far more than just, you know, human nature, that the prince and the power of the air, as Chad mentioned, the spirit that's working through the children of disobedience, is a spiritual principalities and powers that are working behind the scenes, encouraging this through popular media and so forth. In fact, it's quite interesting that when you look at the movie, it's full of we did a whole episode, yeah. What was it, 2 months ago, guys? Tony can post it with this episode on Frozen, where we get into the whole occult construct. It's basically all about, you know, the voice of a siren, and Elsa's, becoming, you know, into her fullness as a witch. You know, she was based on an evil character, and we're not going to get all the details there. In a previous story, they took her and then they made her a hero. So it's interesting. She hears the voice of a siren. It's very haunting. At one point, it's even Eastern, and it's calling her into the unknown, and it's calling her into a circle of magic, where she's being initiated into an occult worldview, into elemental magic. And we go in our expose on Frozen. I'm not going to regurgitate all of that, but we show the elemental magic of Aleister Crowley, Satanist, and we show, well, I point out, I might point out on that show, that elemental magic is based on one of the greatest purveyors in the United States of elemental magic is the Rosicrucians. And the Rosicrucian movement has 80 plus thousand members. And it's a secret organization that promotes elemental magic. Guess who was a member of the Rosicrucian movement? Walt Disney. So it shouldn't be shocking anybody that he's been the greatest promoter. He's dead now, but his legacy lives on of basically initiating our young people into a satanic, occult, demonic worldview where witchcraft is glorified. And if he's saying these artists are intercessors and these scriptwriters and so forth, this gentleman is missing the big picture that there's a spiritual war for our souls and for the souls of our kids. You park your kids in front of this stuff, they're going to be captivated, because I'm going to tell you right now, and God help the Sunday school teachers, God help the parents and so forth that are ministering to the children, but man, Satan uses millions of dollars and all kinds of different tools to captivate our kids, to give them a different worldview, an occult worldview rather than a biblical worldview. And there's a spiritual battle. And when we're being taught that these are the intercessors, you know, these are the ones who are crying out to God for us, it's such a lie. And it's so sad, because this isn't somebody, you know, in the park, a few people talking about, you know, philosophy and so forth and looking for truth, you know, or on a mountaintop or on Mars Hill. These are people that are writing scripts dedicated to deceiving your children. In fact, he goes on to write, in this article, the protagonist of Into the Unknown is haunted by an unknown voice calling her into an unknown space. The first verse makes clear the voice is from a you. Now, remember that, the voice is from a you who seems to be pursuing the protagonist. We might consider this you a thou of sorts, a kind of unknown divine being or force. Brothers and sisters, the you in that, the one that's calling this Elsa is another witch. You know, the movie presents it as maybe her mom calling her the dead. You're not supposed to communicate with the dead, the Bible says, right? And drawing her into an occult worldview to where she can master the elements with her magic as a witch. And it's not you. It doesn't represent God in the movie. It represents the occult. And he's actually confusing in this article the power of Satan with the power of Jesus Christ, which is absolutely ridiculous. So this haunting voice, she even identifies this voice in her song as being the voice of a siren. The ancient sirens in Greece were those nymphs who allegedly, you know, is a mythological course, would sing and draw sailors to the rocks and to their deaths so they'd be shipped down the river Hades, the river to Hades, or the river Styx to Hades, to be captive by Hades himself. So it's an occult call. And by the way, it's very eerie. I mean, I had a couple people came to me after that movie saying that was, you know, one person who is a big, huge Disney fan, saying totally occultic from the get-go. You can see the whole agenda and how it's all about, you know, a haunting voice calling her and initiating her, and they were just tripping out. And it was interesting, because that's what happens in the occult. In the occult, there's millions of people who have occult experiences whereby Satan calls them by demonic voices, or speaks to them, or channels to them, or draws them with through divination, or through omens, or through false signs, and through false wonders, and through movies, of course, through mystical experiences. I mean, Led Zeppelin, the most popular FM song of all time, is called Stairway to Heaven. There's a line in that song, and Robert Plant, who wrote the song, says he channeled it, and he was there at Headley Grange when he channeled the song, and three quarters of the song came in the spot. He said he saw different apparitions, entities at Headley Grange, and he wrote the words, you know, there's Lady Who's Sure, all that glitters is gold, and so forth. But he also wrote the line, if your head is humming, it won't go, in case you don't know. The Piper is calling you to join him. And the Piper, like the Pied Piper of Hamelin, was the deceiver, you know? And people have these type of experience. Ayahuasca, the Bible warns about pharmakeia in the last days, and open yourself up to the demonic world through pharmakeia, translated sorcery, translated witchcraft in the book of Revelation. And it has to do with open yourself up to the occult world through drugs. Well, ayahuasca is an incredibly popular drug, probably the most popular hallucinogen right now in Hollywood. And guess what? It's a common experience that these guys are having. They're having this humming sound. They're having this call from the spiritual world. And they're introduced to entities and so forth. So it's interesting. Before I was a Christian, I didn't know Jesus Christ. I was blind. I was in rebellion to God. The Bible says rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. I'd go through states of paralysis and I'd hear a humming sound. And it was a high-pitched humming sound that was calling me. I knew it because I'd just begun meditating and visualizing my success on guitar. All of a sudden, I started channeling lyrics like crazy. Music was being given to me. I was inventing different musical instruments that I have on paper that still haven't been invented, thank God, because I'd be able to say, hey, look, that's what came to me, you know? Anyway, it's quite crazy because when I realized what was going on, my sheets, my covers were being pulled down, turning sideways in my bed by not levitating, but almost, and these kinds of things. And then end up in contact with these entities, realizing that they were, it wasn't my subconscious, because that's what I thought it was at first. Realized, wow, I'm in touch with entities that are disembodied spirits. They're not human. And I realized, and all my lyrics are demonic, and they're anti-Christ. And wow, there is evil. In the midst of one of my experiences, I cried out to God. You know, not getting full blown in my testimony, but he delivered me right when I cried out to him. Man, my whole life got transformed, and I fell on my knees before him, gave my life to him, surrendered to him. And now I see the same thing going on, and I see Christians encouraging other people to get into our so-called art, which is really occult propaganda. It's very, very heartbreaking, especially when millions of our kids are being led into Wicca and other forms of the occult and the new spirituality. In fact, why do you think a bunch of these mystics, you know, in the East are going om and just, and they're trying to imitate that sound that many of the mystics hear. And they're trying to get in touch with that voice that's calling them. This voice that's manifested in this movie, which is all about witchcraft, does not represent the voice of God, folks, okay? This gentleman is sincerely mistaken. I pray that God opens his eyes for his sake, his children's sake, his family's sake, sake of his congregation. But the Bible mentions that we have to be separate from the world. The Bible comes down on spiritual leaders because they didn't make a distinction between that which is good and evil, you know, more than once. And God comes down, he rebukes the spiritual leaders who made, because you did not make a distinction between that which is holy and profane. And as Christian leaders, it's imperative that we let people know that there's a difference between good and evil, and we need to be separate from that which is evil, lest we are engulfed by it, lest we are immersed by it, yes, lest we become part of it and become evil ourselves. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. 2 Corinthians 6, beginning at 14, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, since we have these promises, Paul goes on to write, what promises? Becoming children of God. Dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Jesus says, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world. See that, Christians? We're not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you would take them out of the world, but that you'd protect them from the evil one, so that they are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Brothers and sisters, we're not of the world. Paul said, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. In Romans 12 and James 4, the Lord says through James, you adulteresses, know you not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever makes himself a friend of the world is the enemy of God. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, he says, love not the world, neither the things in the world, for all that is of the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And it goes on to say, the world's passing away, the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides or remains forever. So it's imperative that we understand how important it is that we as Christians, and this is one of the doctrines that has just been forgotten by the Christian church. Christian church is so worldly minded that there's darkness staring us in the face, and we say, oh, that's our intercessor. I mean, it's so heartbreaking. In fact, Revelation 18, just as the times get even darker, we're warned, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, it's out of Babylon, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Sobering warnings here, brothers and sisters.
Yeah, and that's right after it tells us what it looked like in Babylon the Great there.
Yeah.
It says that they were a prison of every unclean spirit, a prison of every unclean and hateful bird, a dwelling place of demons. What more? I mean, we're talking about demonic activity.
Yeah.
And you just went over, and that does nothing compared to our 30-minute episode on the subject.
On Frozen, we really cover it.
On Frozen, and accompany that with the Walt Disney episode. If you guys are going to listen to any
two of those.
And two of them are two of our most listened to episodes.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah,
praise God.
Especially the Walt Disney
one. That encourages me in the video we're working on.
Yeah, amen, amen. But, I mean, you think about that, you have exactly the wickedness that accompanies this, and then come out of her, my people. And all those texts that you mentioned there, especially the 2 Corinthians text, just so long explaining, do not be unequally yoked. And this Amen. Is what it looks like. And the promise is always contingent. It's always conditional. And the condition was come out of her. It's very similar language that John uses. I thought that was
interesting. Yeah, very, very, very good point. And one of the problems here is wrong doctrines leads to wrong living. Mm-hmm. And we disagree with Calvinism for many reasons. One of the biggest reasons, we believe it gives God a huge black eye. It presents the Lord God as though he's decreed that most people would perish without any real hope and that Jesus didn't die for most people. We believe that's a blasphemous doctrine. But when you start teaching Calvinism that the Lord ultimately only wants a few people to be saved compared to the many that go through the broad gate to destruction, and that it's because he wills ultimately in his decree that most people be doomed, you're not teaching the good news of the gospel the way you ought to be teaching it. You're only teaching it's good news. If you're honest, you go up to some people, instead of preaching the good news to them, you'll say, Jesus may have died for you, brother. Well, you won't call him, of course you won't call him brother, but you say, Jesus may have died for you. Put your trust in him, you might be one of the elect. Most likely you aren't. Most likely he didn't die for you, and he predestined you to go to hell so he could be glorified by your damnation throughout all eternity, but he may have died for you. That's the good news. That's not good news, folks. In fact, he goes on to write this, and there's some contradictions here. He says, they will follow this you. Remember, the you is the siren's voice in the movie. Into a new kind of life where the longings of the stories they watched and read and listened to as children will become realized. Really? The longing of becoming a witch? And this you is now considered God. It goes on to say, this voice is the voice. Well, I'll say this. I'm sorry. These are my words that I wrote. This is the voice of the evil one. And that's ultimately what it is, guys. And you follow that voice, you're going to follow it right into the occult, into the lake of fire. The Calvinistic statements at the end of the article are like this. They will not be able to resist this voice. His calling will be effective as they meet him and rejoice, knowing it was worth giving up comfort to heed his call. Well, they're basically teaching irresistible grace here, that you can't resist this voice. First of all, this voice isn't from God. They're teaching irresistible grace. Go on, Chad.
No, it's just really interesting that most of the article is almost antinomian, and then all of a sudden I have to make sure I get my Calvinistic bullet point in. I have to throw this effectual call. It's so frustrating when I hear that stuff.
Yeah, and it treats it as though the person has some form of free moral agency, and they're a free moral agent. They have responsibility to receive or reject the call. But ultimately you find out that, guess what? Those who are meant to hear the call. And by the way, he says they won't be able to resist this voice. Does he believe that's true of everyone? Of universalism? That would be heresy. Obviously, I don't think he believes that, being in the Gospel Coalition, because they know better than that. But he's now just has the special elect in mind, the few as opposed to the many. But he's not going to state that because he doesn't want to sound like a meanie. He wants to sound like this is art for everybody. He goes on, his calling will be effective as they meet him and rejoice. You know, this is what Calvinist doctrine of irresistible grace teaches, in an effectual call, that there's a secret call that everybody's going to respond to. That's the elect. But it's contrary to the words of Jesus. Because Jesus said to people that were rejecting him that he earnestly and was truly, genuinely concerned in their salvation. He only spoke the words, he said, and did the works that the Father gave him. And Jesus said in John chapter 5 to the Pharisees who were rejecting him, I'm saying these things that you may be saved. But he says, but you're unwilling to come to me that you might have life. They're resisting a call that genuinely was from Jesus about them being saved. Jesus wept over Jerusalem for their salvation because they had rejected him. Jesus in Matthew chapter 23 says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who slays the prophets and kills stones those who are sent to her, how often I would gather together your children as a hen does her chicks, but you were unwilling. In Luke 7:30 says, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected God's, catch this guys, they rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John. So Acts 7:51, you men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting, Stephen says, always resisting the Holy Spirit. You are doing just as your fathers did. Yes, you can resist the call of God on your life. Brothers and sisters, Jonah 2:8 says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. So God's grace is for us. But we have to respond to it, guys. We can forfeit it. God so loved the world, brothers and sisters, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He didn't send his son in the world to condemn the world, but that through him, the world may be saved. He loves us all. If you don't come to him, it'll be on you. Come to him so you can be with him forever.
Amen.
Amen. You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.